All right. Well, I promised last week that we were going to do it a little bit, cut a little bit short so that you have time for questions, or that we have time for questions. So what I want to do is this. I want to finish this whole idea of can we know God? And then after we do that, I'm going to hand out a review sheet, and then we're just going to walk through the whole thing very quickly. One more time, just to sort of show you how it all fits together from week to week. Sometimes there's a disconnect, so I want to give you a sheet that'll help you see how this all fits together. And then, as well, give you something that you can take home and think about. But then at the end, we will have time for questions, and hopefully the review sheet will maybe remind you of maybe some of the questions that you've had in the last couple of weeks that you haven't been able to ask because we have run out of time. Okay, so tonight I want to start with the last thing that we have to talk about, and that is illumination. And that really comes out of the question that came up, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. One was, what about all the versions of the Bible? We answered that question, that we can trust them. And then the other question was, well, what do you say when someone comes to you and they say, well, you know, God told me this, or God has revealed this to me? And so let's talk about that tonight. That is the area of illumination. Now, when someone says, listen, this is what God revealed to me, I usually hear that as not God has given me new revelation, but God is teaching me something. He is instructing me. He is showing me something in His Word. And so I hope that's what they mean by that. I'm going to assume that. If not, then we get into the conversation that I believe that God's revelation is closed. He's not going to reveal something new about Himself that He hasn't already revealed in His Word. And so when you begin to think or ask the question, what is God's will, or how do I know God's will, or what does it mean when someone says this is what God is revealing to me or showing to me, we're really talking about illumination. Now, you know what illumination is, right? You go into a dark room and you're going to illuminate that room. What are you going to do? Right, you're going to turn a light on. And when you turn the light on, what does it show you? What does it do for you? It reveals what's already in the room, right? So you don't turn the light on as you go into your living room, and when you turn the light on, all of a sudden a new, brand new sofa appears. Now, I know that's how some of us wish that it worked, right? So we could just go, no, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. Oh, there it is. That's the one I like, right? Well, if we're not careful, that's what we do to God's Word. And so we will say things about God. We'll go to other books, and they'll say things about God, and we like that better than what God's Word says about God. Well, that's not what illumination is. Illumination is when you turn the light on and it reveals what is already there. All right, so you turn the light on and you know, well, there's that couch that we've had. There's the lamp that we've had, and the carpet is there. It reveals what is already existing, what is there. And that's what illumination is. And that happens through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. So it is the influence of the Holy Spirit under which all children of God receive, discern, and feed upon the truth revealed by God. Now, it's interesting because we're talking about all children of God. Everybody who has confessed Christ as Lord, who has received the Holy Spirit, can receive the work of illumination by the Holy Spirit. And what He does is He allows us to receive this truth, to discern what is in this, and then feed upon that truth. Let me give you another way to think of this. It is the work of the Holy Spirit which assists the reader of the Bible, okay, in gaining both the sense and significance of God's written revelation. So we've talked about God revealing Himself, and we've gotten all the way down into the Bible, down even to the very words and textual criticism, we can't trust it. Well, now how do I know that when I read it, that I'm going to gain this truth from it? It's because the Holy Spirit does that in our life. Whereas inspiration, okay, remember what inspiration is. We'll get back to that in a minute. Is the inerrant and infallible. In other words, God moving among men means that the Bible has no error and it doesn't it's not going to fail. You're not going to read something and find out, well, that's not the truth. Okay, so inspiration is inerrant and infallible. Illumination is approximate and occurs in the minds and hearts of earnest yet fallible readers. All right, believers. So what that means is you could come in here, right, and you see something, and here is the truth, and that truth is revealed to you, and you see it. But you could go out then and do something with that truth that isn't necessarily what the Bible wants. You are a fallible person, okay? You hear people get on TV, and they say, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what the Bible says." Well, they may have missed the truth. There is a way that you can see this and on your own because of your own mind or your own experiences, and you bring that into the text, you can misinterpret the text. That's why it's so important that we do what's called exegesis, where we allow the text to speak for itself against even our experiences, if it needs to, against what other people say, if it needs to, against other what people would claim as truth. So the text reigns supreme. Nothing else comes to the text. It's you and the Holy Spirit and the inspired Word of God, and you study and you read and you allow the Holy Spirit to bring out and show you and reveal the truth to you. How many of you have ever had this experience? You have been reading through the Bible in a passage that you've probably read 50 to 100 times, and you find a brand new nugget in that passage. Raise your hand. That is illumination. You're reading along and you're like, "Oh, I got that." And maybe years later, after you've read it and you read it again, and all of a sudden something stands out. Maybe it's because of the context. Maybe it's because of another scripture that you've been studying. Whatever it is, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit turns the light on, and there is this truth there that you have not seen before. That is illumination. Okay? Well, let's talk about this for a second. Number one, illumination is promised to all believers and therefore is what every Christian may expect and pray for. I want you to know, if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are, all right, you are able to discern what God's Word means. You do not need a seminary degree in order to read God's Word and mine out its truths. Now, you may need to be taught some tools to use as you mine God's Word, but you can mine God's Word. You can go in and read and meditate and think about and find the truths that are in there in the meaning of God's Word. Why? Because every believer has the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit's job is to illumine the text. All right, number two, it is dependent on conditions which may or may not be fulfilled by the individual. Read that again. It is dependent on conditions which may or may not be filled by the individual. Let me give you the most obvious one. If you do not open it and read it, it will not be illumined. All right? This illumination is not osmosis, right? You can't sleep on the Bible. You can't ignore the Bible. You can't stay away from God's Word and expect to know God's truths. Okay, you have to open it, you have to read it, you have to study. Let me give you another one. If you're not under the proclamation of God's Word, it is much harder to get into the text and the Holy Spirit to illumine the text. Why? Because Scripture interprets Scripture. And so if you're only doing your own personal study, the problem is that it's almost impossible not to bring your experiences and your presuppositions to the text. So you need others who are preaching and proclaiming God's word and teaching God's word to help open your mind and say, oh, wait a minute, I've never thought about that. Or wait, I was thinking wrong about that. And so even for myself, I like to read other pastors, listen to other pastors, and allow them to speak and allow the Holy Spirit to use that. All right, so there are conditions. All right, number three, it admits of degrees increasing or diminishing in the same person and varying greatly as it is actually found in different persons. So someone, there may be someone who'd be able to open the text and they can see the truths of the text. Whereas with you, it's a little bit more difficult. And it may be because they've been a Christian longer. It may be because they've been studying longer. It may be because they know the Greek or the Hebrew. There's all kinds of varying different things that could cause one to be able to pick it up and see it more clearly than maybe someone else. It is closely connected with personal character. Listen, if there is great sin in your life and continued sin in your life, and you think that you're just going to open up God's word and the Holy Spirit, whom you have grieved and quenched, is going to just reveal truth after truth, that's not how it works. So if you want to know God's word and to be able to see these truths more clearly, then you need to clear your mind of all the junk in the world and all the things that it pumps into your mind and into your heart. Okay, so it does have to do with character, and it helps bring about and secure salvation. Illumination, think about it. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. Your heart is hard. You have blinders on. How in the world are you going to know anything about what the gospel means or says? The Holy Spirit has to come in, and he has to open your eyes to the truth. And it is revealed to you. There is the glory of God in the person of Christ in the gospel. And the Holy Spirit takes those blinders off and you see. And so it brings about and secures salvation. So what about some verses? Okay, so Psalm 119, 17 and 18. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. David is praying for the Spirit to illumine the truths of the law. Listen, if you read Psalm 119, it's all over the place in that psalm. That's the longest chapter in the Bible, but it's talking about God's word. And David consistently is asking that the truth be revealed to him. Here's a couple of New Testament ones. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord and Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might. He repeats it again in Ephesians 3, 18. He's praying for him that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He is saying the Holy Spirit needs to reveal that to you. It's as you study God's word, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. But their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We have unveiled face. The Spirit has unveiled us, and we can look in and understand the gospel and the truths of the gospel and what they mean to us and apply them to our lives, which is the next part of this. It's not just illumination, it's application. It's putting the biblical truths into practice in our lives, allowing biblical truths to shape and form who we are and therefore what we do. The application of Scripture demonstrates our belief in the trustworthiness of Scripture and our faith in the sufficiency of Scripture. More specifically, it demonstrates our faith in the Word of God and therefore God Himself. Is this sufficient for your life? If you believe that, then you're not only just going to know it, you're going to apply it. You're going to see what it says about your marriage. What does it say about your finances? What does it say about raising your children? And when you don't agree with it because that's not the way you were raised, or because society says you shouldn't do that, or because it's not PC to do it, you're going to do it anyway. Why? Because you believe that the Scriptures are reliable and sufficient for your life. They are truthful and they are God's Word. And because you trust Him, you trust His Word and you're going to apply it to your life. It is impossible to say that you trust God, but when it comes to God's Word, you know better than what it declares. That you cannot do that. Yes, God, I am trusting you for my salvation, but I know better than what you do about raising kids or having peace in life or overcoming fear. Listen, if you know the truths, you can teach Sunday school, you can quote Scripture, you can do all of that. If you know the truths, but you are not applying them into your life, then your knowledge and understanding does you no good. You are full of knowledge, but you have a knowledge that puffs up because you're not applying it to your life. And what happens is you become very critical and you begin to point these things out in other people's lives. That's wrong in your life. This is wrong in your life. This is wrong in your life. Because you're not applying it to your life. Okay, I'm going to pass this out so you can have it. I'm going to take 30 seconds to walk down through this. So Don, if you'll pass out on the right side there and Chris can pass out on the left. We started with God's character. All right, God is loving. And the most loving thing that He can do is to reveal Himself to man. The greatest thing in our lives is to know God. And He reveals Himself through general revelation, which is creation and conscience. So in creation, we see evidence of God and who He is. And there are some passages there. You look all throughout creation and you see there is a Creator. There's His glory. He is awesome. And then through conscience, we have evidence of God in our conscience because it gives witness to a moral standard. There is something even beyond us. We already know that this is right and this is wrong. And then not only just general revelation, but specific revelation. Through salvation history, we see God in His audible voice, through messengers, through different miracles that He's done. Then He revealed more specifically in His Son, Jesus. When He was on the earth, God incarnate, He revealed to us the Father. And then now, because we obviously don't see Jesus physically, He has revealed Himself through His Word, the Bible. Well, how do we know that this is the truth? This is reliable. Well, inspiration. It's God's Spirit working in the lives of certain men to ensure that God intended revelation of Himself be recorded. And it guarantees that what God wanted for us to have, we have. In canonicity, we discovered which books were inspired. God inspired those books of the canon. We are the ones that came along and discovered that. Then textual criticism determined which manuscripts are closest to the original. So we know these are the 66 books, and we have all these manuscripts. Now we're getting down to the very word and the phrase. Is it trustworthy? And the answer is yes. And then tonight, illumination, as we read those words, the Holy Spirit is revealing the truth to us so that we can then apply them to our lives because we believe they are faithful and they are sufficient for life. So we have gone from the mind of God to the very heart of man and how the Word of God is trustworthy, and we can know who God is because of His plan and His providence over all of this.